You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, Hoops heads. Welcome to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Tuesday, February 27th. I'm your host, Aliko Carter. Another slow-ish start and another third-quarter barrage from the Golden State Warriors, led by Klay Thompson, 9 of 13 from the field for 26 points. 26 points on 13 shots, nothing to slouch at. Stephen Curry, 21 points on 16 shots, and Kevin Durant only took 10 shots, put up 22 points. He was a plus 27 on the night to lead the team. A great game to watch. And even Zaza got some minutes after, you know, maybe we thought that Steve Kerr might sit him out after, you know, falling on Russell Westbrook. But Steve Kerr is a guy who's played with Michael Jordan. He's played with Tim Duncan, for Pop, for Phil Jackson. And they always had enforcers. They always had guys who were making things happen and getting under the skin of the other team. And Zaza did a good job getting under the skin of the Thunder, and particularly Russell Westbrook. I still say it was a pretty dirty play. If somebody fell on me like that with no provocation, I'd want to punch them in the face. But I guess that's the whole point. You want to get the other team to focus on punching your guy in the face rather than playing basketball. So good on Zaza there, even though, you know, if I'm the coach, I punish him a little bit. But he did play some good minutes in this game behind JaVale McGee, who played great minutes, 14 minutes and plus 13 on the night, 10 points. But we'll get to that game. And in the second segment, we're going to talk about Draymond Green, because I haven't spent enough time talking about Draymond Green. He did get that 15th technical rescinded, so he's got one more tech cushion, and then that 16th technical, he's going to get suspended. And hopefully there's only 20 games left, so one tech in 20 games. Let's go. 21 games, I believe. And so we're going to talk about him, talk about his case for potentially Defensive Player of the Year. He's probably not going to win it this year, but the Warriors are nothing without Draymond Green on the defensive end. So we're going to get into his defensive stats in the second segment. And in the third segment, we're going to go around the NBA. We're going to talk about the Rockets, who played last night in Utah. And we're going to talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers. And we're just going to, you know, take a look at some of the other teams who could give the Warriors some trouble. And so that's going to be our show today. You can get this show anywhere podcasts are available: iTunes, iOS, Android, which is, I guess, Google Play, same thing, Spotify, and LockedOnWarriors.com. Make sure you bookmark that page. We're also available on Facebook at Locked On Warriors. Make sure you check out Locked On NBA. It's a great podcast. It's 5 days a week now, and different hosts, including myself, will be joining in to give you all of the news from the day. It's a nice, digestible length, 20 to 25 minutes. We've got the local experts tackling the biggest stories in the NBA, so make sure you check out Locked On NBA in addition to Locked On Warriors. Locked On Podcast Network has podcasts for every single NBA and NFL team. I know it's the offseason, but you guys out there looking at the Raiders and the 49ers, check out Locked On Raiders and Locked On 49ers as well. And the Locked On Podcast Network is slowly extending into baseball before the season gets started. So stay tuned for Locked On A's and Locked On Giants. They're not available yet, but they will be. Now let's turn the page to this Knicks game. I want to first start out by shouting out my friends Aaron Duffy and Selena Tyler, who were at the game at Madison Square Garden. Big, big Warriors fans from the Bay Area originally, and they were on the screen on the NBC Sports Bay Area shout-out. They got a ton of texts, but I was the first one to text Aaron, and you know, I'm happy that he got to take in this game 20-20-20 from Thompson, Durant, and Curry. Very exciting. So I hope you enjoyed it, Aaron and Selena, and hope to see you soon. This new look Knicks team is very exciting, very confident, clearly. And it was exciting to see how much synergy they already have. Emmanuel Mudiay went off for 20 points, made a ton of three-pointers, 3 out of 5 from deep. Michael Beasley had a pretty bad game by his standards. Even though he played 25 minutes, he only scored 2 points, got knocked in the forehead by Draymond Green and started bleeding, so he cut into his minutes a little bit. But Trey Burke crazy off the bench in 25 minutes. 1 of 4 from 3, 8 of 15 from the field. He was making things happen with the ball in his hands. And, you know, a lot of talk has gone into, you know, him turning himself into a point guard. But those shooting guard tendencies were on display clearly as he was out there on the court. High usage, but he was finding his own shot. He did have 5 assists, though, and 7 assists for Emmanuel Mudiay, 4 for Hardaway, 4 for Beasley, and 4 for Damian Dotson near the end of the game. And the Knicks had 28 assists to boot. You know, so without Porzingis, they're not running the ball through the post, and their highest usage guy is gone. So instead of one guy taking over that usage, they've spread it out. And it ended up in the first half being a barn burner. 63-64 Knicks. The Warriors once again allowed 60 points in a half. And, you know, that's no bueno. But the Knicks deserved every point they got in the first half. And then the Warriors just turned it on in the third quarter. So let's transition to the Warriors, and I'll start with Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson had a bounce back game. He was only 1 of 11 in the last game against the Thunder, and this game came out scorching. 9 of 13 total, including 4 of 6 from 3. He had 4 rebounds, 5 assists, and a steal. The Warriors only had 12 turnovers in this game. 3 from Stephen Curry, nobody else in the high turnover mold, and that was huge. You got to keep the turnovers down. The Knicks are not a team that will capitalize on them, but turnovers will do you in against even the worst teams. Draymond had a pretty good game by his standards. 10 points, 6 assists, 3 rebounds, a steal, 2 blocks, including a block of a jump shot. Kevin Durant also had a block of a jump shot. That's 2 shots. By the way, people, I hope you're counting and that you got a little tipsy last night. The shot distribution in this game was fantastic. Only 13 shots for Klay and 16 for Curry. Durant only took 10 shots, which is unlike him. 22 points on 10 shots and a plus 27, though, is extremely, extremely efficient. He was 2 of 3 from 3. He had 9 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, that block that I mentioned earlier, the block of a jump shot. And only 2 turnovers. So 2-to-1 assist to turnover ratio. Good for Kevin Durant. JaVale McGee had a great game in 14 minutes and 35 seconds. He was 5 of 6 from the field, including a turnaround jumper and a looping layup that showed, you know, touch that you would expect from a guy who was a foot shorter than him, you know, a guard. And, you know, he I've seen him in practice. He practices these shots, but he gets a little nervous in games and doesn't necessarily do as well when he takes those shots. But he was confident as all get out, and that's what starting will do for you. His third straight start, and maybe we're looking at potentially JaVale starting for the rest of the season. That's something that Steve Kerr is going to have to let us know. But I like JaVale in the starting lineup. He brings the Warriors, you know, the same bruising screens. He's obviously learned from Zaza about patience with his screens. And then not only that, but he can jump through the roof. He keeps defenses honest in the pick and roll. And he's got touch around the rim, touch that Zaza doesn't have. And he can jump over people, which Zaza can't do. And then also the return of Jordan Bell. Same idea. He had a dunk, very powerful dunk. He had a number of athletic plays, 3 assists, which is amazing, and a block. Only 1 rebound in 13 minutes. You want him to rebound the ball better, but as a team, the Warriors rebounded the ball extremely well. 43 rebounds for the Warriors and 39 for the Knicks. So we out-rebounded the Knicks, which was a key going in. 8 offensive rebounds for the Warriors and 10 offensive rebounds for the Knicks. So you're right there. You're right there. Enes Kanter had his 3 rebounds. Frank Ntilikina had a couple of offensive rebounds as well. And Kyle O'Quinn played particularly well in 14 minutes and 44 seconds. Excuse me, 21 minutes and 15 seconds. He was only a minus 5 on the night. Had 14 big points. We're going to talk more about this game in the next segment, but I want to stop for a break. And we're back. And we want to talk about the third quarter here. 39-18, the Warriors turned the defense on as they did against the Thunder. An incredible third quarter in which the Warriors must have been looking at the score 64-63 and said, we're better than this, you know? We're just, we can do better. And so they did. Stephen Curry came out on fire. He was 5 of 9, including 3 of 5 from 3 in the period. Klay Thompson, 3 of 4, including 2 of 3 from 3. Draymond Green made a 3-pointer, was 1 of 1. And Kevin Durant did a little bit of everything else. He made 4 free throws in the quarter, had 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and a block. 2 blocks in the period, 3 steals, including 2 steals from Zaza Pachulia, who played well again, as I said, coming off of that game where he fell on Russell Westbrook. But more than that, they shot 12 of 19 from the field, but the Knicks only shot 7 of 24. And that 19, they had 5 turnovers. So without those 5 turnovers in that period, they probably would have been able to get up 24 shots as well. The Knicks were 7 of 24, as I said, only 2 of 8 from 3 in the quarter. One by Tim Hardaway Jr. and one by Trey Burke. And everything really came together in the third. There's just active hands. The Warriors were getting out in transition, and everybody was extremely confident. Like I said, they went into the halftime, and I just feel like, you know, when the Warriors go in and they've allowed 60 points in a quarter, it's about time that they came back out and said, no, not again. This is our quarter. This is our game. And they did that, and, you know, then allowed the Knicks to outscore them 29 to 24 in the fourth quarter, but it didn't really matter by that point. They had already gone up 20 plus. And I actually told my friend to take the over on the spread, and the spread was 13. And I told him to take the over. They won by 14. And so I'm happy that I didn't give my friend bad advice. But I really just felt like the Warriors were going to come out and play extremely well this game. And they did in the second half. Once again, they didn't have to play Stephen Curry in the fourth quarter or the other big guys for the most part in the fourth quarter. And that continuing rest is going to be huge for the playoffs. Now I want to transition to Draymond Green. I haven't given enough attention to Draymond Green and what he does. It's so easy to forget, but he's averaging 11, 8, and 7. He is a well-deserved All-Star and once again is in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year. And so I want to talk about his defensive statistics specifically. To be fair, his stats defensively and offensively are down across the board compared to his Defensive Player of the Year season last year. But what he does is so unquantifiable, guarding multiple players, just seeing the way an offensive play is breaking down and knowing what's going to happen before it happens, so he's in the right place at the right time. His defensive box plus minus right now is at 2.9, which is down from 5.0 from last year. That's a career high. But he can get that up, I think, as the Warriors continue to home in on their defensive abilities over the course of the next couple of months. Because honestly, January and February were not good defensively for the Warriors. We know that. They lost a ton of games that they should have won. We know that as well. And Draymond, you know, it's a 5-man game, but Draymond has to play better defensively as well. And he's shown in the last couple of games why he was the Defensive Player of the Year last year. His offensive rating is a 109, his individual offensive rating from basketballreference.com, and his individual defensive rating is a 100. Oh, excuse me. Those are his career numbers. His offensive rating this year is a 112, and his defensive rating is a 104, which is 5 points lower than his defensive rating from last year, which was a 99. But still, 104 is a great number considering the pace that the Warriors play and how many points they score, honestly. You know, they score a ton of points. They're going to allow a ton of points. That is what it is. But the defensive rating of 104 is not horrible. And according to NBA.com, he has a net rating of 11.2, which is very good, though lower than the last 3 seasons where his net rating was 16.5, 18.9, and 15.9, respectively. But that 2015-2016 season where he had a net rating of 18.9 probably will never be replicated again. And honestly, teams are catching up to the Warriors. It's as simple as that, and I think that his defensive intensity is still as high as it was in those seasons. But The competition has game planned for the Warriors in a way they weren't prepared in 2015, 2016, and certainly not in 2016, 2017 when the team added Kevin Durant. Now, I want to talk about this lineup really quickly, this new lineup featuring, well, it's not really new, but the rotations are right. You remember in the early part of the season, Steve Kerr said it's going to take months for these rotations to get right. Well, these rotations now, his planning now to have Klay and Draymond play together to start the second half along with Sean Livingston, David West, and Andre Iguodala. That is a defensive monster right there, and Klay Thompson keeps the defenses honest by being Klay Thompson. And so it's an extremely good defensive unit with firepower. And what they're doing right now is nothing short of extraordinary. The lineup has played in 20 games, 16 wins and 4 losses. And they're shooting 53% from the field, 32% from 3, obviously not a lot of shooting in this particular lineup, but the defense is absolutely suffocating. This lineup plays at a significantly slower pace than the average Warriors lineup. Of course, that lineup does not include Stephen Curry or Kevin Durant, but the defensive rating is an 84.3 according to NBA.com, an offense rating of 103.2. That's a net rating of 19. That's crazy. They assist on 77% of their shots. And they get a ton of offensive rebounds. This lineup rebounds 58% of available caroms off the rim and has a 57.7 true shooting percentage, which obviously the Warriors can do better than that. Their starting lineup has a true shooting percentage of 64.6%. But when the defense is that suffocating, the pace is much slower, and the intensity is just that high, and you've got Klay Thompson out there with Draymond Green barking orders and David West holding down the back line, that's a recipe for disaster for teams, especially after a third quarter barrage. So you've got your crazy starting lineup, and then you bring in Nick Young and Jordan Bell and whomever in the third quarter. And then in the fourth quarter, you've got a lineup of Draymond Green, Andre Iguodala, Sean Livingston, Klay Thompson, and David West to hold down defensively and keep that lead. That's scary. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how this lineup works together in the playoffs, because it's going to be integral to keeping leads and to keeping up the confidence and making sure that Stephen Curry and Kevin Durant don't have to play crazy, crazy minutes as well. Really quickly, I want to talk to you about sponsoring the Locked On Warriors podcast. Locked On Warriors is part of a vast podcast network and is hot, 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 hot. Podcasts are where smart advertisers are coming to get their products out to the people. And if you want a smart, connected male audience, look no further than Locked On Warriors. Locked On Warriors is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 and 44. So if that's your target demographic, get at me. Email me at alikocarter11@gmail.com. That's alikocarter11@gmail.com, and I'll give you all the details. Now we have just enough time for a short trip around the NBA, and I want to start with the Houston Rockets. The Rocks continued their win streak with a big win. They were down early in this game, 96-85 over the Utah Jazz. So what they did here was they showed that they could win playing at the Jazz pace. And that means they're more versatile than maybe we gave them credit for. And what it also means is that, you know, they shot 9 of 33 from 3. That's 27.3%. They still won by 11 points. So what teams are going to have to do, in addition to making sure that they don't get, that the Rockets don't get off from the line, is to defend the paint as well. From the paint, they were extremely dangerous, even though they only shot 43%. From the field overall, they shot 45% from 2. They got up 79 shots, which, you know, slow-paced game is not that many, but both James Harden and Chris Paul were a plus 15 on the night. Luke Bamute was a plus 16, and Nene was a plus 10. So everyone really, and Clint Capella didn't play in this game, so that's huge. Didn't have Clint Capella to go up against Rudy Gobert. Eric Gordon didn't play. Ryan Anderson didn't play. And Brandon Wright didn't play. New addition, Brandon Wright. Obviously, Mike D'Antoni doesn't like to play a lot of guys, and so you have to rotate guys in and out, but we'll see about their injury situation right now. Anderson is battling a left hip flexor. Capella is ill. Gordon is ill. And Wright is sore in his right knee. So without some of their key guys, they were able to get a big win over a surging Jazz team that has been playing extremely well and playing well at home. It's really, like, if you're not taking the Houston Rockets seriously yet, it's time, Dub Nation, to take the Houston Rockets seriously as a threat. It's entirely possible that they'll have the number one overall seed, and that eventually, if we do meet them in the Western Conference Finals, that they will have home court. So, let's game plan. You know, what you gotta do is you gotta run them off the line, first and foremost, which the Jazz did, but then you have to make sure that your two-point defense, your paint defense, is on point. You gotta collapse on James Harden when he's driving to the basket, but not give up open shots at three, which means your rotations have to be crisp. You gotta make sure Chris Paul dribbles the ball a lot, and, you know, maybe even deny him the ball, as Klay Thompson has shown an incredible ability to do. But if Klay Thompson is guarding Chris Paul, that means that Curry is on James Harden. And, you know, that's a tough one. So Curry hasn't been extremely great this year defensively. And, you know, it's not lack of ability. He can get better. And he'll take guarding Chris Paul as a badge of honor. He's very serious about improving his defense and guarding the other team's best players out on the perimeter. So him and Klay Thompson will have their hands full. But this Rockets team is for real. This Rockets team is for real. In other news around the NBA, Paul Millsap is potentially returning tonight for the Denver Nuggets. If not tonight, then the next game. He was sidelined early in the season after having surgery on his wrist, and that's going to be huge. That's going to be, like, how did the Nuggets stay so entrenched in the playoff matchup, in the playoff race, without Paul Millsap? Excellent coaching. I think that Mike Malone deserves some consideration for Coach of the Year, definitely. If it doesn't go to Eric Spoelstra, it should go to Mike Malone. There's a lot of obviously D'Antoni is one of those guys who should be getting consideration. There's a lot of guys, but Mike Malone has done an incredible job with the Denver Nuggets, and they've beaten us twice this year. So good omen for them getting Paul Millsap back in the lineup. There are 11 teams right now with 25 to 27 losses, and 7 of them are in the Western Conference, currently seeded 3 through 9. So it almost doesn't even make sense to, like, look at playoff matchups right now, but it's exciting to do so anyway. I do want to say the Rockets have one of the toughest schedules throughout the end of the year, while the Warriors have one of the easiest schedules. But the Rockets, like I said, are very serious, so we shouldn't count on them being out and, you know, like, going on a long winning streak like they did earlier, a long losing streak like they did earlier this season. I just don't see it happening. I think it's going to go down to the wire, and I think the Warriors still have a good chance. They're only one game behind of making that number one seed, but it's going to be tough. Man, the Indiana Pacers, 34-25, looking forward to playing them before the end of the season. The Cleveland Cavaliers started out real hot with their revamped lineup, but really have gone cold. And you know, LeBron said he's done this before. Like, the reality is that it takes a while for players to get acclimated. They're 35-24 right now, and their offensive rating and defensive rating are, like, neck and neck, but their defensive rating is still 28th in the league, and their net rating is only plus 0.3. So they're not playing like an elite team yet this season, but we'll see. They've got a month and a half, 20 or so games to right the ship and potentially, you know, get back up into the upper echelon of the Eastern Conference. That's about as much time as I have today. Make sure you check in tomorrow. I will be previewing the game against the John Wall-less Washington Wizards. In the second segment, we will be doing our statistical deep dive. And in the third segment, I'll be talking about the Warriors as it relates to Donald Trump, because obviously they're not going to the White House. They decided that months ago, but instead they're going to go out into the community and chill with some kids. And that's awesome. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about this political atmosphere that we have right now and what that means for the NBA. Thanks for listening, and stay thoughtful, Hoops Heads.
Thank you.